I'm very lucky to have been asked by them to sing two songs as a backup kind of backup role. Aurora and I were just kind of talking about writing songs, and we just sang. She came over, and I went over to her house, and we just sang some songs for each other.
What's the writing about? Is there a direction?
No, not per se. I think that both of us have this secret dream of becoming known as songwriters. Uh-huh. And so we would like to, I think, I can certainly speak for myself, and I think I can speak for Aurora too when I say that we both want to cultivate our songwriting habits.
With all this accomplishment being an instrumentalist, and obviously, I mean, I've seen many different surroundings of the man, but why is songwriting
I think to now I've been very shy about being a composer and being a front man and a singer. And I've done a lot of sideman work. I'm known as a sideman, and I'm known in the jazz and avant-garde scenes. And I want to spread that around.
How did you end up being in the jazz and the jazz scene and all that stuff? How did it progress this way?
In New Orleans.
You have a lot of control over your artistic ability, about your artistic output, because you're immensely competent, as are many people that I've talked about, your mom, it's fascinating. But so it's selective choice. How did you end up having that as the front end of where you're at and now switching to this?
Well, you pay your dues for a while.
Is that dues paying, though?
I think so.
You think jazz is sort of like a place where, I'm trying to understand that. Why is that the dues event rather than being songwriting?
Oh, you have to pay your dues in that realm, too, I think. Although, you know, this jazz thing, since it's such a specific creative endeavor, you really have to pay your dues and be known. It's a different kind of sort of scene-making and networking kind of thing in the jazz scene. And when I moved to New Orleans, I was very fortunate to be playing at the Funky Butt when it was open. On a weekly basis, on a gig where a lot of musicians came through, and that's how I met a lot of people.
You know, that's the way this network.
It's kind of where how it started with me, yeah.
Because musicians were coming to see.
Yeah, a bunch of musicians would come and sit in and hang, and that's how I started to really get to know everybody on the scene. And within just a few months or a year, I already knew a lot of the people that I needed to know and still play with now. And this was in 2001, so yeah. I've been here for 8 years now. After the 90s. I miss the 90s. The 90s. Especially the early 90s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But depending who you talk
when
to.
When I was in high school. Yeah. Depending on who you talk to.
Yeah. well, you know, everybody, no matter if the guy comes to town, there's always a guy that's going to be there. They dismiss them.
That's right. Of course. No matter what city. In New York, when I lived in New York, usually. Same.
So, okay, now again, you're going to make a choice. Is there, look, there's so many kinds of songs.
Right.
You're a very knowledgeable musician.
Right,
so
exactly.
We have songs all over.
Sure.
So when we say song, what are we talking about? Obviously something sung besides that.
Well, not even necessarily something sung, although I'm definitely trying to cultivate my singing abilities as well. But I'm talking about something. I mean, I've played so many freely improvised gigs, completely no conception, free improvisation. But I really wanted to. I felt like the balance had swung too much in that direction for me, and I wanted to get back to something more structured. So I'm talking about structure and organization more than I am. You know, that's what I mean when I say a song.
Okay. And that music, what I want to ask about now, because it's kind of interesting to bring that up. What is it that is unstructured about the kind of music that you're saying that now you're moving away from?
Well, I don't want to talk. I certainly don't mean to speak for the entire genre, quote unquote, or for other people. But for me,
what you've been doing, yeah, musically,
right,
is it that is that makes that either structure or unstructured. What are the parameters?
I think for me, I just reached a point where I felt out of whack, all in one direction. Too much of that.
Yeah.
And I look at, you know, we should look at, well, Jonathan Frelick or Alex McMurray, who puts on the Chess Fest, by the way. You guys are people who work in almost every different context in so many different bands. And I do that too, but I also need to step out and be writing some of the songs and leading the bands too. But I definitely am looking at you guys when I'm like, you know, Alex, he's in all of my favorite bands. His own band, in which I play on occasion, and the Tin Men and 007, and it's just, you know, and you can work in all these different contexts, and for me that seems very valuable to me. But when I look at that, I say, oh, that's the kind of musician I really want to be.
Yeah, this is interesting that you brought up, okay, let's see, me and Alex, or these kinds of things, because right now we're at the Chaz Fest. Tell me about the Chaz Fest, what you feel about the Chaz Fest.
I think what's great about the Chaz Fest is, the original mission of the Chaz Fest is to get bands that did not get into the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, which we all have our opinions about how that's programmed. And this is a proactive way. Instead of us sitting around bitching about all the local bands who didn't get in the festival, which is you know, close to zero, especially bands that don't fit a specific mold in the local scene, couldn't get into the Jazz Fest. This is a proactive way. This is what I really like about the Jazz Fest. It's a proactive way of actually getting these bands a venue and exposure while all these people are out of town and all these people are really hungry to see live music. And that's what I really like about it. And it's stylistically very broad,
okay,
too.
Let's talk about that. Now, tell me about the sorts of musicians that Chaz Fest hires that are not, it's not everybody that doesn't get into the
Well, that's true.
Festival. So what's going on with that? What's the look of Chaz Fest? What in terms of the music?
What I alluded to a second ago is the not fitting a certain mold of being a New Orleans musician. There are plenty of local bands who play at the Jazz and Heritage Festival, but the Chaz Fest, I think, really represents an energy and a scene in New Orleans that the Jazz Fest has ignored for a long time.
Why do you think they ignored it?
Because it's clear, I hate to say this, it's clear that the Jazz Fest has become a very commercial, money-driven event. And unless some of these downtown Ninth Ward bands have a real serious into the sort of New Orleans media machine, they're never going to get a Jazz Fest gig. Jazz and Heritage Fest gig. And this is why what's so special about the Jazz Fest is because you really actually see a lot of music that you would actually see every night of the year in New Orleans, and all these great and unbelievably and talented and creative people who are playing music in this town who don't get the bigger venue. You know what I mean? And it's actually kind of a perfect size for some of these bands too. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Right here in the backyard, and there's a few hundred people here, and it's great.
And then that kind of something that goes on downtown, you're saying downtown musicians, in the sense we're downtown here.
That's true, we are. Right.
That's right. And a lot of musicians, I guess, are people that we see walking around.
That's absolutely right. And live here in the neighborhood, right?
So, what is the look of that kind of art? What is it that's going on right now?